being on the commission, you really sort of laid out a pattern to emulate with respect to the way you dig and inquire and articulate, and you've been a great example to me, and I'm going to certainly miss you on the board.
Thanks so much, Commissioner Burke.
Yeah. Okay. Well, are we ready to go? Do we have everybody still on the line?
Yeah, they didn't leave.
Nobody left. Okay. Fair enough. All right, then. Do you want to, just out of an abundance of caution, should we roll through attendance just to make sure everyone's still here?
Yeah, I guess Commissioner Sartoon wanted to leave.
Commissioner Burke?
I'm here.
Commissioner Edwards? Oh, excuse me. Commissioner Fiskum? Commissioner Fiskum? I think somebody just dropped off.
Okay,
Commissioner Keene?
Present.
Commissioner Mason?
Here.
Commissioner O'Day?
Here.
Commissioner Sartoon?
Here.
Commissioner Starr?
Here.
Okay.
And Amy, you're still there?
I'm still here.
Could you...
And Commissioner Fiskum?
Check on Fiskum.
Could you have David call David and... We lost him somehow.
Okay. So everyone can hang tight just a second. We'll try to get Commissioner Fiskum back on the line.
Mr. Fiskum?
Mr. Fiskum has returned. Sorry about that. A glitch on the phone, not my fault.
No problem. All right. Glad to have you back. Okay. Well, let's move on then to the last few items here under miscellaneous, the accounts receivable honor roll certificate.
Yeah, we try to put that in for you folks each year just to show you that we're taking care of your money. And somebody outside of us is telling you folks that we're taking care of your money, so we just try to include that for a pat on the back, I guess.
All right, so. Very good. Okay, and then the discussion regarding legislative concepts.
Okay, Chair. So what I want to do with the commission's approval is the stuff that we've listed here. In the book on page 151, we will go ahead and write up a legislative concept around these ideas. And I would ask if the commission out there has any kind of language around a definition of media, if you could provide that to us. If you got anything rolling around in your head that you think should be included in that, but obviously whatever concept we put out there would be a starting point. I mean, that's our job, is to get the starting point. And then if it does make it into the legislative process, that discussion and those hearings in there would actually probably add to that discussion. But I'm willing to go out. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry for the delay and sorry for talking over you there. So I may be alone in this view, but I don't think it'll come as a surprise to my fellow commissioners that when it comes to the definition of media, I would be supportive of a legislative concept that allowed units of local government to decide that for themselves, allowing local voices to make local choices, and not to have a state-mandated definition be provided, and leave state agencies, you know, and agencies like ourselves and units of boards and commissions like us. It's fine for the state to have a definition, but I think that our cities and counties and special districts should be allowed to define that term as they see fit.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, this is Commissioner Fiskum. To my friend Commissioner O'Day, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that, except, and this is not disagreement, it's to say that I think as tough as the issue will be in a legislative process if we get some agreement to go ahead, I think some kind of a definition, whether it's local or state, needs to exist, because otherwise we will continue to have the challenges we've had in recent months dealing with this issue. So however a the definition is described, is arrived at, and local's fine with me. I think that something is better than nothing.
Yeah.
I agree. Go ahead, Amy.
You know, legislatures are always different, but just pointing out from the last go-round, the Ethics Commission asked for rulemaking authority to define media and was denied it, and the local government, Bob Bogart and others, asked for local control over the definition and was denied, and at the time, I guess it was Senator Ferriola at the time, said he would entertain definitions that could be put into statutes. So I'm just pointing that out as, you know, potentially, as Commissioner Fiskin says, it's a place to start.
Yeah. Well, I think, I agree with Commissioner Fiskin that we need to have a conclusive standard. I just don't think that standard needs to be uniform. What I would support is a legislative concept that mandates that units of local government define media for themselves and for purposes of their own meetings and require them to set that out and publish it. I'm fully in favor of that. Like I said, what I'm not in favor of is a statewide mandated definition. Because I think that the concept of media is still evolving today. And as we've all seen, once we put something in statute, it can take a long time before that changes. And our units of local government, being on the front line of government, the government closest to the people, and being as nimble as they are in their own processes, although, you know, some may say that's slow, but certainly not as slow as state government would be able to adapt and evolve faster. So, again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't put forward a concept. It's just my concept would be that each local government be mandated to define media for themselves, and that there be a statewide definition for state agencies, but not to have a statewide definition apply to units of local government.
This is Commissioner Keene. I agree with what both Commissioner O'Day and Commissioner Fisk had said, although I would offer a slight little tweak, just that because since many local governments will not take the opportunity or the command to create a definition, or they may not, that perhaps just like many model rules or local rules, that in case a local jurisdiction does not make its own rules, that the state rules will govern, so they can basically opt out by creating their own rules. But it's just been such chaos with every different jurisdiction making their own rules ad hoc. I would like there to be a state mandate that they create them, you know, prior to enforcing them, and that if they haven't done that, that the state rules would govern.
You know, in model rules for contracting, there's a model where
exactly.
The general can adopt rules, and you have to opt out, and then you can create your own. There could be some kind of model like that.
Yeah, that's a great
idea. Gotcha. And Ms. Alpaul, what do you think about the possibility, and I'm just throwing this out there, of having a series of factors that can be considered for local jurisdictions when defining media? I mean, meaning that, you know, we can lay out sort of certain considerations that they can take into account. Because it is evolving, right? The concept is always changing,
yeah,
with technology. But, you know, just creating almost like case law, you know, the factors that you can consider when determining whether someone is or is not media, rather than having a ironclad definition, but rather a guide of these are things to take into consideration.
Honestly, Commissioner Sosa, I think that's the best that can really be done. I know that Attorney General opinion that struggled mightily with this. That's the best that opinion could do. Mm-hmm. So I think that is sort of the way it would have to work.
Okay.
So,
Chair Sosa, this is Commissioner Fiskin. I've got,
yes,
a couple other questions, but I want to get in the queue when you're ready.
Okay, does anybody have any more comments about the definition of media topic before we move on to other legislative topics?
I don't. I appreciate everybody entertaining my thoughts and comments. Unfortunately, my deadline has moved up. For my fellow commissioners who don't know, I recently changed jobs. I'm now the deputy director of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, and we're the agency that runs those two veterans homes, one in Lebanon and one in the Dalles, where we've got positive cases of COVID-19.
So my
very, very, very full, and unfortunately I'm getting pulled away here for another urgent matter. The only last thing I wanted to note, and I know it's getting out of order, but I like I said, I've got to drop off, is that I appreciate the staff matrix on the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, the commissioners who've been appointed. I just wanted to note in there, some may say I'm indecisive, but I'd like to say I just love all my children the same, that much like Mr. Fiscom, I'm an unaffiliated voter in Oregon, and just want to make sure that the record got corrected on that.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Commissioner O'Day.
And Commissioner O'Day, congratulations for your new job, and sorry you seem to have stepped into a difficult time. Good luck. Keep yourself safe.
Yes. Good
thank
luck.
You.
Good luck, Commissioner O'Day, and thank you so much for taking the time to join us this morning. We really do appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me all. Everybody stay safe, and we'll connect again in May.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right. So if nobody has anything more on the media topic, then we can then move on. Commissioner Fiscom, you had some other things you wanted to discuss.
Thank you, Chair. First is a general question. It probably has both potentially substantive and tactical considerations. That is, Mr. Burson, if we have a number of concepts, legislative concepts dealing with ethics, is it possible or advisable to put those in draft form into one bill, or should there be separate bills, separate proposed bills, knowing we have to go through the governor's office and all of that? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, my thought is, if you're making substantive changes, that should be a separate bill, but you can't have an omnibus bill on some just corrections that are out there. Like, one of the ones I think that we talked about is, like, when bodies are in executive session. I think there's some executive session stuff that we'd like to do kind of an omnibus bill on, that there may be more than one concept contained inside of that. Just some stuff that we've ran into problems with that you've seen before you. I don't know if you remember Mr. Montoya arguing, do they have to announce, like, once they announce, are they actually in or are they not in executive session? So, but for the most part, if it's substantive, like my example here, prohibition of use of public funds for civil penalties, I think that ought to be a separate bill on its own, because it's just that concept of using public funds for civil penalties that's kind of popular right now, the idea of using public funds to pay for personal expenses. So,
Mr. Burson, thank you for that comment. I don't want to sort of presume to reach a conclusion here on that point. I will yield your guidance along the way. I would just say one other thing, that if we do envision some changes in, quote, ethics law, quote, fixes, issues of a sort that don't need to stand on their own, it might be possible to have a general, not necessarily wide-ranging, but a list of ethics law changes we would advance, to which end I would add one that is, and again, I'm not going to read all the bullets I sent along on page 151 after the last meeting. I do think my last one makes a lot of sense to me, just as a person who's been around government for a long time. I would like to see proposals to allow commissioners to serve not just one term, but two. And of course, if appointing authorities agree to the reappointment, and just to add one point on that score, I hate to see veteran commissioners who know what they're doing, who have been very helpful to me, leave, such as Allison. And I don't know why there was a limit imposed of one, if appointing authorities want someone to keep serving, I don't see a reason why that should not be allowed. There may be one. I just don't know what it is. So that's my advocacy for that particular of my fourth bullets on my page.
So, Amy, I had a question for you. You sent me an email on this talking about the four-year term and something about the Oregon Constitution. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, there's a provision in the Oregon Constitution that says that any time that the legislature sets a term of office, it can't exceed 4 years. That is not to say, and I sent that to you wrong because there was some discussion about maybe making the term 6 years. That, I don't think, touches on whether a person could be reappointed.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure of. Okay.
Right.
This is Commissioner Fiskin, just quickly, and thank you for that, Amy and Ron. My only comment, without trying to cite too much history, is from my background, I think I have seen situations where members of boards and commissioners serve for two terms on, relatively speaking, a routine basis. Not always the case, because appointing authorities have decisions to make about such things as reappointment. But your comment, Amy, is helpful. Thank you.
Okay, the only other question I have for the
Can I also say one other thing on an omnibus bill?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, Director Burson, whether you touched on it, but also how much control you want over it and the relating clause, if you want to not open it up for the ethics law to be completely changed.
That's always a consideration we have to do in any of our bills, because if you just put the ethics laws in there, well, we've seen them get over 50 amendments on them in the past. So everybody wants to change everything. So, okay, we'll keep that. We'll always make sure our relating clauses are pretty narrow whenever we put these things through. The other question I had for the commission is the 30-day preliminary review. What type of time frame would you think was better than that? I mean,
Ron, I'm sorry to speak over you. And that's what we're doing these days, these hours. I apologize. I don't have a problem with a 30-day thing. What I would appreciate is the freedom to resolve something, rather than to only be able to resolve something by moving to an investigation first. But that's just what I wrote, rather than the other bullet I saw on page 151. So I personally don't have a problem with 30 days, as long as we have the ability within that time to make a, quote, final decision, unquote, if we choose to make such a decision.
Yeah, just to be clear on Commissioner Fiskins, on your third note, I just want to be clear that currently statute allows us to put out a letter of reprimand. So we do have that.
Right.
It's already in existence.
Commissioner Fiskum, again, just quickly, Mr. Burson, thank you. I suspect that was the case, if not in law, in administrative rule, but I still wrote it just to remind myself to think about it. So, thank you.
Yeah. And, Ron, I would say in regard to the 30-day preliminary review, what troubles me is that when we've got cases that we're pretty confident we're ultimately going to find no violation, but the staff just does not have time to get through a substantial amount of evidence to be able to give us that, because there's still recordings they need or still documents they're waiting for. So I don't know on those types of cases, what would 60 days as a practical matter be much more helpful than 30, or...
Well, 60 days probably gets us to another meeting. That's usually kind of that helps out too. To me, what it feels like, if we put this concept in, since it was Governor Brown's concept to go to 30 days, we probably should do smaller increments. So, I mean, I think if we went back up to the original 135 days, which, by the way, Governor Brown changed from 90 to 135 when she was Senator Brown back in 2007. So she has changed her mind in the past. But, you know, in response to John Kitzhoffer's thing, it moved down to 30 days. But we find it difficult here sometimes to get you guys enough information, even to make the decision to move to investigation or not. In fact, a lot of times you'll see our recommendations to move investigation because we don't know enough yet. Right. So I think if you double our time, it gives us a better chance of coming to you folks with a recommendation that actually has kind of some knowledge behind it. Because
right.
Like I say, there are times that we simply ask you folks to move forward because we don't know enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also very difficult, I believe, on the respondents to get information into us quickly enough to be part of that 30-day review. And you find a lot of times they sit at the other end of this table and they enter that into the record while they're sitting here, which does us no good in our recommendation because we haven't had it for the 30 days.
Right.
So, you know, my idea was to write a concept around 60 days and try to get it past the governor's office, if that's okay with the commission.
This is Commissioner Fiskum. I actually like 60, you know, for the reasons you've said. There's a solid rationale for that, Mr. Burson. It's not a squishy one. There's a solid rationale. You just enunciated it, so I actually like 60.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead. And
Commissioner Keene, I agree with that.
Okay. Okay, I will write up these. We'll get these concepts. I apologize for the concepts and doing this over the phone. But it is the one deadline that has not been changed with the state of Oregon. They're due by the 17th of April, and so we will have those out. I can try to get drafts out to you folks beforehand, so if you have any changes you'd like to make. But we're going to be rushing pretty hard to make that 17th time. So when I email them to you, it's going to be a quick turnaround. I'm not going to be able to give you a ton of time. So.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean they can't be changed after the 17th. I just want to be clear about that. We just have to have them submitted by the 17th. The governor does; he doesn't adopt these until December. So there's talk inside of that process between the 17th of April and when they actually go into the session. So I don't want you to think that, you know, we're stuck with this language. There can be some massaging of it during that time. So.
Hey, Ron. Commissioner Mason here. I know I just wanted to follow up on our phone conversation since I missed that meeting when I brought up conflict of interest when, you know, the legislature is voting on their own pay increases, and you brought up the point that the governor might actually see it as favorable by possibly bringing in the legislature under the same rules that she basically is under with regard to ethics commission oversight. And you could probably explain that more, but was there, can we talk about that or at least, you know, review what we discussed?
Well, we can certainly talk about what we discussed was that the commission has never been given the conflict of interest authority over the actual sitting legislators. And looking at the original idea on that was that if a legislator does not get to vote, then they're representing their districts and they're essentially the people wouldn't get to vote. So they have House rules and Senate rules where they're required to declare those conflicts. And of course, they would all be potential conflicts of interest unless, of course, they were voting on something that would actually benefit them specifically. But I don't usually see that. So I still don't think it would hold off from them being able to vote because I think there'd be potential conflicts of interest. But Commissioner Mason had talked to me about trying to eliminate that prohibition of the, in other words, give the commission authority over their conflicts of interest and as a concept. So that's what we're talking about. And I'm happy to write up a concept about it. Like I said, I've always kind of thought it's odd that we didn't have it. But.
Ron, this is Amy. I think we need to look at Article 9, Article 4, Section 9 of the Constitution just to see for what they're actually doing when they're acting as legislators and whether that is reserved to the legislature to handle conflicts, which I believe it is. But I would have to look into it.
Okay, well, we'll have you do that then. Because I'm not going to write something up that's against the Constitution.
That'd be better.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right.
Thank you, Ron and Amy. I appreciate that.
Great. Thank you, Christopher Mason. Any other discussion or questions or comments in regard to any of the legislative concepts? Okay. Hearing none, we will move on to the trainer's report.
So you don't have a trainer here, so you get me. There's a report in the book, but I just want to tell folks, currently right now, our trainings are going to be done by webinars in the near future here. Most trainings have been canceled. Even some of our normal routine type trainings, I know the Oregon Health Authority, we normally go over there and train them for their new employees, and they canceled that to meet the governor's executive order on meeting size. So currently right now, our training department is basically providing advice and doing webinars. And right now, they're doing it from home. So that's what's happening with training right now. It's just we're doing the best we can to get the information out. We are still here answering the telephones, answering questions. Those questions are forwarded sometimes to people at home, sometimes here in the office we answer those questions. So right now we're working really hard on the SEIs. There's a webinar coming up next week on filing the SEIs. We're a little concerned because we're not getting a lot of phone calls on the SEIs. I'm hoping that people know how to file them now, but I think people are putting them off, and I think after April we're going to be, I think by the April 15th day, because we did not extend our time, because it's in the statute, to July 15th, like taxes did. So we're still due on the 15th of April. But I'm sure that the commission that's listening will be more than lenient with people that are late during these times. And so we still, of course, hold that authority to waive any kind of penalties that they might incur. So.
Okay.
So sorry, there's a lot to report on the trainers.
Fair enough.
Now, having said that, it's also part of my executive director report, is we did complete the first round of interviews. I believe we invited five people back. Is that right?
Four
people back. And so they have put an assignment in. We are holding off on that second interview for just a bit here. Again, kind of holding off on the virus, inviting people we don't know into the office to do that interview. So that hiring is kind of put on hold for just a little bit while we kind of figure out what we're going to do inside the office. The budget, you might see that the state of Oregon's budget has blown up significantly. You might remember before February, the last meeting, I said we had an extra $1 billion. They were going to spend $500 million of it in the short session and save $500 million. Well, as you know, they only passed three bills in the short session, so they didn't spend any of it, and now we're a few billion behind. So, because, the state of Oregon relies on personal income tax, and people are making less money with all of the shutdowns of businesses and wherewithal. But our current budget, we are still showing a surplus of $74,000. That's projected in our current budget. So we're still doing well, but we are watching that pretty closely here. I will tell you also that the $61,544 that we put into that special session, it wasn't one of the three bills that passed. So we didn't get that extra limitation. I'm not sure if the e-board is going to take that up. At this point, I suspect that it might be taken up at some point later on in the biennium, but we weren't asking for any money. We were just asking to have an increased limitation to spend on the Attorney General. but it did not pass in that short session. So we did not get that additional limitation. The audit, I actually got an email yesterday from the auditors saying that they want to start up their field work, and my first reaction was, really, you want to do that now? You know, Corrections had an article in the paper, they were $60 million upside down yesterday, and you want to come look at me? But anyway, we are still going to protect our little fiefdom here from people we don't know coming in and spreading germs around. So we'll see when that starts, but the audit is continuing on. They want to start their field work with that, which I'm assuming will also include talking to you folks on the telephone, I'm assuming, about your roles here. The session already talked about no bills passed that concerned us. We talked about the interviews. This COVID-19, we have several. In fact, our investigators are in the office today, but they are working remotely from home. Yesterday, the state decided that they couldn't just have a laptop from us. They have to have a cell phone so they can send a special code so you can sign on. So yesterday, we worked pretty hard to come up with 4 cell phones for these folks to take home so that they weren't cut off from their laptops today. So it's been a bit of a struggle in the office to get the work done. We already talked about Allison, but the TOMP study, I put that down here. I just wanted you to know they actually did place all of the managers in the state, or all the agency heads in the state, and they don't really think a lot of what I do, so they placed me pretty well down there, but I told them I didn't like it, but they said they didn't care. So just so when it comes out, you'll see that the state of Oregon doesn't think my job's all that hard, but that's okay. I haven't heard anything about the TOMP study since COVID-19 came out, but I'm sure they're going to come back to it. So the next thing is to place all the managers inside of agencies inside of this matrix, and then I guess they figure out what those positions are worth. So they're continuing on with that study. So that's all I had, sir. I appreciate everybody's time. I thank you for your help with this. Hopefully the May 15th meeting we can actually be in the room. But if not, we'll persevere. This conference line seems to work okay. We'll try to get the video to work better. We tried to do it yesterday, and all of a sudden it said we needed Adobe Flash.
Director Brisson?
Yes.
This is Commissioner Keene. I just wanted to interject. Sorry to interrupt, but I wonder if next time we could try a Zoom call, just because it's been real effective in my other commission, that, you know, we were able to all see each other, and it was programmed. It was shown live on YouTube and on our channel for those who want to watch. So it's one thing to look into if we have to do this next month again. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, that's no problem. We'll talk to IT about it, but it, you know, we'll do the best we can. That's all I can say is, like I was talking about the cell phones yesterday, they said we had to have them by today. We tried calling, they weren't accepting phone calls, so you had to email them and wait for them to contact you back. So it literally took us all day to secure the hardware we needed to keep our people working. So they haven't been the most responsive folks, but I mean, they're pretty inundated right now too. But we can definitely talk to IT about some type of conference calling where people can see in and out of that conference. Okay?
Mr. Chair, this is Senator Fiskum. Just quickly, say for the record that I have filed my SEI and I had great help from Kathy along the way of doing that, so let's not forget to get those filed as commissioners. That's it. Right. Thanks.
Yeah, we won't let you guys be late.
COVID-19.
Yeah.
That's good.
What I don't want to do is appear before Mr. Sosa and have to explain why I didn't do what I was supposed to do.
Yeah, you get no leniency, Commissioner Fiskum. Not from this.
I think this is the...
COVID-19.
Yeah, I think this is the 14th
has
year.
Has interfered with the celebration next Tuesday. I will be celebrating at home a 64th wedding anniversary.
Woo-hoo, congratulations!
Congratulations, Commissioner Starr.
That's wonderful.
Thank you very much.
And you'd do it all over again, wouldn't you? That's what's great.
Absolutely.
That's right, yeah, with both feet. Nice. Yeah. That's what I always ask my wife every once in a while. I ask my wife, would you still marry me again? Sometimes she hesitates, but that's usually when I'm in trouble. So. That's great stuff. So. Anyway, I altered off the path.
Sir. Well, I just want to thank our amazing staff for doing the great work that they're doing in spite of everything. I want to thank all of my colleagues on the commission for taking the time and having the patience and indulgence to do this over the phone. Very much appreciated. Thank you to everybody. Please stay safe. Please stay healthy. And hopefully we get to all see each other again in May.
Okay. All sounds right. Very good.
Bye,
thank you so much.
Bye.
Good job. Thank Take you. Care, everyone.
Have a wonderful weekend.